Masechet Kelim, Perek Tet, Mishnah Vav. Mishnah says, "Hagefet v'hazagin shena asu v'tahara." If there was olive pulp and grape skins, and oil and wine was pressed from them in a state of tahara, in a state of purity, the people who were pressing the oil or the wine and the utensils and everything that was involved was fully pure. It was tahor. So therefore, all of the oil and the wine that comes out of it is pure. But after the oil and wine was pressed out, the pulp and the skins that were there with them reabsorbed what was left of that oil and the wine. V'halchu alehem teme'im, and people who were tameh walked on them afterwards. V'ahar kach yatzu mehen mashkin, and liquids came out of them afterwards, squeezed out of the pulp that was being stepped on by these tameh people. We say tehorin, the liquids remain tahor, they remain pure. Shemetehilatan asu betahara, because to begin with they were made with purity. Since the liquids were tahor, when they were reabsorbed into the pulp, they're tahor when squeezed out by the tameh person who steps on them. We know that if a tameh person steps on a food or a liquid when he was barefoot, he makes it tameh because he touches it with his foot. But the olive pulp or the grapes that we're talking about are not a food, so they don't become tameh when a tameh person steps on them or moves them. The oil and wine as well that comes out of them when they're stepped on stay tahor for the following reason. A juice, a type of liquid like olive oil or grape juice in this type of scenario, doesn't become liquid that could become tameh unless it's squeezed out of a fruit on purpose. If it oozes out on its own and a person doesn't want it, it does not become tameh, doesn't become prepared for tum'ah. In our Mishnah, the oil and the grapes came out on purpose. They came out deliberately by the tahor person, by the pure person, bringing them out, so they became liquids at that point in time. But once they were reabsorbed into the pulp and the grape skins, they returned to their natural state, and they're not liquids anymore. They're part of the grape. They're part of the olive. So when the only time they become liquids once more is when they're squeezed out on purpose. In our case, the tameh person stepped on the pulp and the skins, but he only wanted to walk on them. He didn't want to press the liquid out on purpose. He didn't want the liquids to really come out. So even though oil and wine is coming out, they're not considered to be liquids, and therefore they do not become tameh. We'll talk about a different type of scenario now of a solid thing that becomes part of something else. We'll first talk about a spindle and the hook that's attached to it. A spindle is used to spin fibers together into a thread, and there was a metal hook at the end of it to hold on to the fibers. If the wood is soft enough, the hook will be pressed into it and becomes part of it. It becomes swallowed up by it, but we still consider it to be its own individual complete metal keli. Mishnah says here, kush shebala et asinora. If you have a wooden spindle that swallows up the metal hook that was in its tip, malmad shebala tadarban, or a ox goad, it's a wooden stick with also has a nail on top, the darban. It's a nail on top. It was used to push or prod the ox to continue and go straight while it was plowing. The wood here is soft, and the nail could sink into the wood and becomes fully part of it. But even after it's swallowed, we say that nail is its own complete individual entity. It's its own metal keli. Levena shebalata tabat, or brick that swallowed a metal ring that got mixed into the clay that the brick was being made from. The ring became kneaded into the clay, and then it hardened and turned into a brick. In all these cases, behen tehorin, the metal hook, the nail, or the ring were tahor at the moment they were absorbed. The utensils are now absorbed in the wood or the brick. Nichnesu le'ol hamet nitma'u. The moment they enter the tent of a corpse, they become tameh, even though they're absorbed in something else that is not tameh. The spindle or the wooden ox goad, they're flat utensils and they cannot become tameh. The brick also is a flat piece of earthenware and cannot become tameh. We say these tahor things, even though they're enclosed, the metal part is enclosed in something else, like the brick or the spindle or whatever we have over here, they're not shielded from the corpse tumah in the tent, since only a earthenware container is able to shield from corpse tumah. The sticks over here or the bricks are tahor items that have metal as attached to them, but they have no ability to shield the metal utensils that are part of them from tumah. Hesitan hazav nitma'u. If the zav moved them, they become tameh, even though they're absorbed in something that's not tameh. A zav makes things tameh through moving them, even if he doesn't actually touch them. So if a utensil is wrapped in something else and somehow the zav causes it to move and he causes one of these items to move, then the hook or whatever we have over here becomes tameh as well. Naflula avira tanur tahor. If after becoming tameh from the corpse or from the zav, one of these items falls into an oven that tahor, timeuhu. He makes the oven tameh, even though they're absorbed in something else that's not tameh, because they're within the walls of the oven. The utensil became tameh from a corpse, so it's an avatuma, and same thing with the item that the zav moved. So when it enters the airspace of an oven, it makes the oven tameh. And that's what we say in these cases. Naga bahen kikar shel tiruma. If a loaf of tiruma, bread, touches them, it touches the wood or brick where the tameh metal was absorbed. Tahor, the loaf is tahor. It doesn't, since it didn't touch the tameh utensil itself, but only the wood or the brick that was covering it or attached to it. So therefore, even if the loaf of bread is tiruma, which is super stringent, we treat it more stringent than ordinary food, it remains tahor.